This is Vibhu Mishra with UN News. Despite an upturn in the global economy, there are clouds on the horizon which need to be addressed if the world is to reach the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. That's the view of the chief economist in the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs, DESA, Elliot Harris, who is also Assistant Secretary General for Economic Development. In an interview with UN News, during this week's Economic and Social Council Forum on Financing for Development, he said the international trading system was under threat from protectionist policies, and what is now needed is a transformation of the way we consume and produce to reach the SDGs. Matt Wells asked Mr. Harris to begin with a snapshot of the global economy today.
Basically speaking, right now we are experiencing a pretty widespread upturn, economic upturn globally. And that has made it possible to mobilize a lot more resources than might have been the case a couple of years ago, including official development assistance, which I think now is at a record high level. I have a little bit more to say about that later on. But what is essentially happening is that there is considerably more scope for investment flows to take place than there might have been 2 or 3 years ago when this economic performance wasn't as widespread. However, there are a few clouds on the horizon. One is that the focus on what is going very well tends to obscure the fact that there are still things that need to be fixed. And one of the things that is a particular concern right now is that there is a potential for a rise in trade protectionism. Now, that, of course, could undermine some of the health and some of the motor of this economic performance.
Led, it seems, by the United States.
I think there's a general sense that the commitment to the multilateral rules-based trading system is perhaps a bit under threat, and that one does really need to be vigilant to prevent all of the gains that we've had, the systemic gains that we've had from properly regulated and managed trade, from being dissipated. The second problem that I think is also important, particularly from the financing perspective, is that there's been a rather alarming rise in overall levels of indebtedness across the globe. And not just in one category of countries, not just public debt either. A lot of it is the mobilization of loans from new creditors.
And that last big debt bubble, of course, in 2007 and 8 caused huge problems for the global economy.
Absolutely right. And it's not quite in the same magnitude, but we do find that many countries now have come pretty close, if not surpassed, those levels of indebtedness that would be a signal of potential debt distress. So this is something that we think has to be looked at very carefully, because countries that are suffering under very heavy debt service burdens are less capable, if you will, of mobilizing additional debt as a means of financing their development, their sustainable development. And they'd also have to be careful as to the extent to which their levels of debt might impact on their overall creditworthiness or the perception of risk in their economies, and that would be a critical factor in the mobilization of private finance.
So why is it so important to get the financing for development right? What's at stake here?
At stake is the transformation of the way we consume and produce. It boils down to that. We need to move away from the heavy reliance on carbon-based fuels towards low-carbon economies. We need to move away from the preponderance of one single-use plastics and move towards more renewable types of materials. We need to move to the circular economy. We need to reduce our footprint on the physical world around us, and we need to be as efficient as we can be with the resources that we need to produce the goods and services that we want. For that to happen, we have to invest in new technologies, and it is that investment which is the real challenge. We estimate that between $2 and $7 trillion of investment is needed every year, between now and 2030, that money has to come from the private sector. There is not that much public money in the world. And for that to happen, it is really important that we get the financing right. It doesn't all come in one form, and what might be suitable in one market might not be suitable in another, but we do need to get the money to flow in the right way, at the right time, in the right amounts, if we want to really succeed with sustainable development.
And of course, the economies of the world, as you say, have set themselves a very high bar here with these very ambitious sustainable development goals that were signed up to in 2015.
That is correct. But again, it reflects the aspirations. I mean, I think what we have decided collectively to do is change the way we live on this planet and set the stage for the continued prosperity of our peoples in successive generations. If we don't take care to put ourselves on a path of sustainability now, we make it impossible for our succeeding generations to do so in the future.
So what do you want to see emerge from this forum here at the UN this week? What's the best result in UN terms in terms of the impact on the global economy?
Well, I think there's what we would hope to see is a reconfirmation from all of our member states and from all of our stakeholder partners to the principles of the Addis Ababa Agenda for Action, which sets out very clearly what we need in terms of the means of implementation. It's not just financing, of course, it's capacity building, it's technological innovation and the transfer of technology. So that is one thing, the reaffirmation of Addis. Secondly, I think it would be very helpful for us to deepen our understanding of what the different options are. There are all sorts of innovations happening now in the financial sphere, in the technological sphere. Let us understand better and share experiences as to what has been working, why, and what not. A third thing, I think, would be deepening the understanding that this really is an effort that requires all of us to contribute, because no one country, no one community can do it on its own. And so if we could reaffirm that, and by doing so, reaffirm our commitment to the spirit of multilateralism, I think that would be a very important achievement.
Can you give any kind of concrete examples of countries or regions who are doing things well and perhaps others where there are warning signs where things are not going so well in terms of policies?
Well, I think we've had some examples, for example, in the Pacific Island community, where they've been increasingly successful, these island nations, in leveraging finance in support of national sustainable in objectives. We've seen this happen in sectors where there's a comparative advantage with a potential for sustainable growth in things like fisheries and tourism. What has happened is they've been able to mobilize revenues from the sale of fishing rights, and greater regional cooperation has also helped to mobilize more investment in these two sectors in particular. And that has enabled them to maintain a faster rate of progress in developing these sectors sustainably than might have otherwise been possible. We've had a country like Egypt that's been able to partner with several development partners, including the Saudi Fund for Development, the World Bank, or the African Development Bank and others, to foster micro and small enterprise development as a way of moving forward on the sustainable development front. Because, of course, small enterprise development could be one of the critical catalysts to the kind of growth and inclusive, sustainable economic development that we're looking for under the SDGs. Where we've had problems, I think, has been primarily a result not of mistakes made by countries, but of their vulnerability to some external factors. One need think only of some of the countries in the Caribbean that have been so pummeled by these storms in the last over the last year. And that has set back their ability to progress in the investments for sustainable development quite considerably, because in many respects they have now to reach out and mobilize funding to recreate, build back up the infrastructure that was destroyed by these hurricanes. Paying attention to resilience is as important as mobilizing additional resources.
Finally, I mean, there is a constant worry, isn't there, that we aren't keeping up with the pace, with the necessary pace of implementing the sustainable development goals. Are you optimistic overall that you know, perhaps we'll sort of go in fits and starts, if you like, but eventually get there by 2030?
I do confess to a certain amount of optimism. I think there were startup difficulties. I think we put together a truly ambitious, very highly aspirational agenda without having thought through in all the final detail everything that would have been needed. We knew in broad terms, but doing it is somewhat more complicated. But we see a lot of progress where individual countries are setting up their national sustainable development plans and starting now to mobilize all the different actors who have to play a role in implementing them. But what I think gives me the greatest cause for optimism is the degree to which this agenda has been internalized by the private business and financial sectors. It is absolutely extraordinary and something none of us anticipated, the extent to which major entities in the private business sphere, in the private finance sphere, have taken this agenda on as part of their underlying business models.
And you're pretty sure that will remain fairly solid?
Absolutely.
That buy-in, if you like, from the private sector?
Absolutely. You see, what we see happening is they're doing it not because it's the corporate socially responsible thing to do.
It's good for business.
It is good for business. It's good business and it's good for business. And they recognize this.